This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
Rooting out a cancer like ISIL won't be easy and it won't be quick. But tyrants and murderers before them should recognize that kind of hateful vision ultimately is no match for the strength and hopes of people who stand together.
Fighting for Idaho.
We will kickstart our economy. We will reform K-12 education, and we will get Arizona out from underneath the thumb of our federal government.
Fighting for you.
It's that time of year for the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. Our friend Scott Spencer with us.
It's an iconic community tradition, and I'm so pleased that my guys are all involved in it. I get very excited about it.
Boise's Mr. Wright, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller here with you. As we get ready to go back to school, everybody's back to school. We have our friends here from the Boise School District ready to talk and to tell us what's going on, not only in the Boise District, but education issues throughout the state of Idaho. We'll start with our roundtable. We'll start from left to right, if you can introduce yourself, and we'll start with you. Ma'am, why don't you go ahead, please?
My name is Tasha Todorica. I'm a longtime teacher of mathematics in the Boise School District, and I have just moved into position as a math coach.
Oh, wow, a math coach.
Correct.
A lot of calculus?
I taught a lot of calculus, but right now the coaching is for the entire quadrant, so K-12.
It's so intimidating, that calculus.
No, it is accessible for all.
Oh. Okay, I'll take your word for it. All right, we continue on.
I'm Don Coberly. I'm the superintendent of the Boise District, just going into my fifth year. Been with the district for, 30 years now. I'm a graduate of Bora High School here in the Boise District.
All right.
Which is where these two guys that are with me are going. Just happy to be here to have a chance to visit with you, Kevin.
Well, it's great to have you guys. Gentlemen?
I'm Nick Johnson. I'm a senior at Bora High. And
the world awaits you, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm George Concon-Galamone. I'm a junior at Bora High School with Nick Johnson here as well. We're both avid students.
Okay.
As well, so, yeah.
And we've learned about the AVID program. We'll talk more about that. But what do you guys want to do with the rest of your life? Now, you'll hear that question for the rest of your life. But,
yeah.
What do you, you're getting ready. Of course, you've got another year. You're getting ready. Your last year here. What are you guys looking to do?
I'm looking at going to Boise State. And hopefully after my first 2 years there, I'll get an offer to go somewhere else maybe. And I'm thinking about doing, mechanical engineering.
Well, something light.
Yeah, I still haven't decided what college to go to yet, because I still have a couple years to think about where I want to go. But I really am interested into going into medical school and become a doctor. But, yeah, I just still have to think about which college is going to help me get through that.
Well, you got a lot of people that are in their 30s and 40s still thinking about it. So you've got a lot of time. What does education mean to you two? You know, we're always so hardened when we're in our, when we become adults. But what does education mean to you that are there each and every day? What does it mean?
To me, it's just a great opportunity to find out who you really are and what other chances you can get in life and do something with your life to make another person, be thankful for you and appreciate what roles you're doing. So it's just a great opportunity to be something in the world.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with George. It's a great chance to figure out what you're really passionate about and to figure out what you want to do with your life. Like education, it can be a lot of work, but it helps you figure out what you're wanting to do.
Right. Now, were you both excited? And I'm sorry to monopolize the conversation with the students here, but were you excited about going back to school?
I was pretty excited.
Really?
Yeah, senior year.
Okay.
I was excited. It was my junior year.
You guys like school.
Yeah. I actually do.
Right.
That's kind of what I've been thinking about after when the summer is close to the end. It's like I'm going to be a junior, so it's got to start thinking about how everything is going to be, and I got really excited when it started.
Sure. What advice would you give to parents on how to effectively communicate to their kids?
That's a good question.
I always ask that when we go to the schools, And I just want to make sure that we get that, because, you know, how do you, you know, what's the most effective way?
I think if parents can figure out or help their kids figure out what they're passionate about and, like, support them, then instead of, like, I don't know, forcing your kids into some direction that they may not want to go into, then they're going to be more, they'll listen to their parents more, I guess, if they're willing to back them up.
There we have it.
Yeah, and also just push your kids more into the education side than just other, like, going other completely directions, because education will really help them out much more in the future when they're done with schooling and they have their career jobs.
Well, it's easier said than done, and you young men at such a young age have understood that, and we are thankful that you get it. Hopefully most people will. Let's take a look at our panel here. When we take a look at back to school, we've heard from the students. Let's hear from the teacher. What does it mean to you?
Well, when I was in the classroom, what was most exciting was seeing that new group of kids come in and fired up for learning. And
now,
kind of
really?
Setting
fired up for learning?
I've taught calculus. They come to class ready to learn.
Okay.
So I have been spoiled, yes. I have a lot of great kids who come in and they want to learn the material. They've got big goals for their future, and they know that education is how they're going to get there.
Right. So. It's amazing how mature they are at such a young age.
Yes, it is.
When we take a look at the school year, what does it mean from your level?
Well, I think we always look forward to another year. And, you know, I'll tell you, with these two guys, what really excites me is that if you look at the coursework that they're taking through the AVID program and advanced placement, it's really exciting, because they're going to go on to whatever they choose, to Boise State or Idaho or wherever they decide to go to college, and they're going to be well prepared. And I think Tasha would agree that, you know, that's our job. We're trying to get more and more kids prepared for whatever they choose, whether it's college, the world of work, or whatever. And just listening to George, I didn't have a chance to talk to Nick, but, boy, his course load's pretty heavy. And
yeah, could you handle it?
You know, that's a really good question. I would actually refer that one back to you. Could you handle it?
We already know the answer to that one here at 580 KIVO. You know, public education has, in this state and others, is taken it on the chin. What would you like to say, all of you, for being in education? The idea, well, you know, whether it's a controversy involving Common Core, whether it's a controversy involving funding, what sometimes we forget is it's still about kids. It's still about the future. Mm-hmm. It's still about education.
Yeah. So I think here's the deal. We became more and more focused beginning in the 80s and then in the 90s on what we could provide in terms of rigorous education for our kids. In other words, getting them truly ready for the world. And so when you look at the Boise District, that's been our objective. And it's come mainly in the form of advanced placement. That's been our focus. But if you look at the Boise District, for example, in 94, we gave about 425, 450 advanced placement exams. Last year we gave 3,500.
Wow.
And so it's really been an effort to give more and more students the opportunity to take rigor and to be ready for whatever they want to pursue. So when you get all the other stuff out of the way, all the politics and all that, our desire is to prepare kids for what we think is a bright future.
Yeah, I would agree entirely. I think a lot of the political hubbub about education doesn't really take into account the boots on the ground and the teachers who are in the classroom. By and large, they really care about kids, and they want to get kids prepared for the future. And no matter what the policies are, we're going to be doing our jobs and working hard to teach our kids. And I think if you talk to parents, it's the ones that actually have kids in the schools, they have really good things to say. So I think for the most part, we are working to make kids learn and to help fire that passion for just approaching life with a learning eye and a learning objective. We want lifelong learners, and we've got to spark that curiosity. And we've also got to work on closing the gap between college readiness and career readiness and what happens in the schools. So
right.
I would agree.
We do hear about that, the idea that sometimes, and this happens everywhere, this is a problem with public and private education at the primary level, in the secondary level throughout the country, is you have people that aren't college ready. And that's where, you know, the AVID program comes in, advanced placement comes in. For people that may not be familiar with it here at 580KIDO, and let me ask our gentleman here, the future of America, you two. That's an incredible responsibility. To talk a little bit about the AVID program and advanced placement, and what it's meant for you two.
Well, to me, AVID, I started that in eighth grade. It's been a program that has been preparing me for college. They encourage me, they encourage all of us, the students who are in AVID, to take advanced classes that we could that could challenge us for college and prepare us at the same time. And they've been doing a wonderful job at that. And as we go on with AVID, I'm pretty sure there's going to be more things that they put up to help students be prepared for college and just get through it. And that's just a great program that the Boise School District has on there.
Sure. Sounds good. And again, it's a program where you work with groups, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you get to do many activities in there, like community services, help out the community. And
help out the radio show.
Yeah. It's just great things that they do in there to prepare you for whatever is ahead in your future. And it's pretty great that I've actually joined a program such as that.
Mm-hmm. What AVID's done for – I've been in it for eighth grade since eighth grade also. But what AVID's done for me is I've always wanted to – push myself in school, but what AVID has allowed me to do is to push me farther, because it's there to help me when, you know, I might think I'm in over my head. Well, I can go to my AVID teacher, or the AVID tutors come in and they help us, you know, with all of our advanced courses and all, like, the AP classes and everything. So that's one of the major things that AVID's done for me. But along with that, there's they're always showing you, here, the teacher might come up to you, here, I found these schools, you might be interested in these, they have, sounds like they have exactly what you're looking for, and you can look into those, or they give you volunteer opportunities that a lot of other kids may not even ever hear about because they're not in AVID.
So it's very different from the traditional classroom.
Yeah, very.
That most of us have grown up when the teacher's in there hanging out and they give you the lesson from the lesson plan. It's a different experience. And we've talked about AVID, but for people that aren't familiar with it here at 580KIDO, if you could explain a little bit more about it.
Well, it's the advancement via individual determination. And originally it was set up to identify kids who had potential for excellence and didn't necessarily have the support system in place or the training per se to get organized in their classes, or they didn't know the avenues to pursue in order to get into colleges. So it was mainly, let's provide a support framework for kids that have the ability and the aptitude to do really well, and just it hasn't been on their radar yet. So let's identify them and let's get them in a position where we can support them and help them.
To actually give them the skills?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when I think back to when I was in junior high and high school at Bora, so many years ago, one of the things that I was lacking was organizational skills. And, you know, I went through high school kind of hit or miss on all that. So I did fine. But when you think about what these kids get, I mean, the district, we actually start the AVID program, identify the students, and they get study skills, organizational skills. You guys take Cornell notes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a great way to organize your day and prepare yourself for the future. And I think these guys would agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Is this unique to Boise?
It's not. AVID's actually a national program that was started in the 70s. And we had a new principal at Fairmont Junior High 8 years ago who came to me and our deputy superintendent and our superintendent at the time and said, hey, there's this really cool program, and I'm familiar with it, and would you guys like to take a shot at it? And we said, well, you know, at Fairmont, let's have a look. We started that year with 50 kids in the AVID program, and as of last year, we had 1,100 across the district. So it's in every junior high, every senior high. The other thing that we've done is some of those AVID skills are pretty universal. In other words, everybody needs to be organized and have study skills. And so what we tried to do district-wide then is to provide more of that for all students in the schools. And then these guys are in the program in which they have an elective. They go to a specific class to really focus on those skills, get help with AP Physics, for example, or whatever from their AVID teacher. So I think it's been a real boon for the Boise District.
And we'll talk more about that coming up. You're listening to 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And we continue on. Talking about going back to school, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Don't forget, we'll be once again promoting our school, securing our future. I want to thank our friends at CapEd Credit Union for that. I want to thank our friends from the Boise School District for making that happen. We have a panel of a teacher, an administrator, well, the administrator, and we have a couple kids here with those students. Now, let's get back to the advanced placement, because when I was going to school, that was, you know, just for the elite. When we're talking about the Boise School District and perhaps others across the state, it's grown to quite a large number. How do you attribute the growth?
Well, I think it's become a more popular program over time, primarily because kids can go to, well, it's about 95% of universities around the country will grant credit based on a score on an AP test. So the way that works is, for example, at our high schools, we offer 23 different advanced placement courses. And so a student can enroll in one of those courses, takes the course, and then there's an exam in May, typically. And then with a particular score, it's on a 1-5 scale, 3 or above, and it depends on the university, but kids can get credits, typically core credits that allow them, for example, to take a sophomore-level course when they get there instead of starting out in the basic course.
So you can save some money and test out of things.
You can. Both of those things. It's kind of interesting when you look at a lot of our students. What it allows them to do is to study internationally, for example, or get a double major. That's another thing that a lot of our students do. And you know, starting out, for example, as a sophomore really helps with that because you can obviously take more coursework. Most of our kids don't graduate early. A lot of parents think that that's something they'd like to see them do. But with our students, typically, they're going to take the route of a double major or a major and a minor that they might not have done otherwise.
And I can speak to the math piece of it. I've got countless students. I started teaching calculus, I think, maybe 14, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and I had to beat the bushes to get two periods worth of calculus. And now at Boise High, we've got, I think, 8 or 9 mm-hmm. that are full. So we have over 200 kids that are involved in the AP Mathematics program. And it's not that our student body has gotten any smarter. We're just better at identifying these kids and helping them get on a track where they can get into the advanced and learn the material. And so then those kids, I mean, we hear again and again that math kind of opens doors to lots of different mm-hmm. opportunities for professions and for college routes that you can take. So the more math you take in high school, the better equipped you'll be for success in college and the more options you'll have. So we have countless students, Dr. Cobley's son included, who have gone through and done math things in their college careers and are now out in the world as engineers, as teachers, as accountants, we've got a lot of people who are doing mathematics because of the education that they received on the secondary and elementary levels. So I think the more we can do to boost the rigor and maximize the potential of our kids when they're young, then the broader their horizon will be once they leave our schools.
And just to give it a little broader picture, so the Boise District has about 9% of the students in the state. Last year, we gave 34% of the advanced placement exams. So we have really been a pioneer in the state in that area. Now you're seeing a number of other districts really build their programs. The Valley View District over in Caldwell, Blaine County's done a lot with it, as has McCall. But Boise really started that, and I think there are some other believers around the state now that have more and more kids enrolling in that rigorous curriculum.
You know, when we think of what the schools are doing, we've detailed that. What issues or what tips can you give to parents listening right here at 580KIDO, whether they're in the Boise School District, Murray, or West Ada, Canyon County, Nampa, Caldwell, all over, or listening online here at 580KIDO? Because, you know, as you know, you guys work with parents. You guys still are influenced by parents, thankfully, but parents want to know what they can do to help. And, you know, calculus, as we've talked about both on and off the air, you know, what's a parent's biggest fear? Well, when we have these young men come out and they go, well, can you help me with my homework? Well, no, not really, because it's pretty heady stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think Nick gave some great advice, you know, support kids' dreams, support their aspirations. And the third thing I would say, and it's something that we're really working on making a concerted effort at in Boise, is understand how the system works and ask questions. So what courses does my student have to take in order to take AP Physics, for example? What kind of background does he or she need? Those are really important things because it's something that we want is for students to be able to access that system, and the more parents understand about it, the better.
And the earlier you start, the better. It's hard to shift stream when you're 16. It's like you got to build those building blocks all along, because especially in the things that require mathematics, it's very sequential. And so if you don't understand how to work with fractions, then it's going to be really hard for you to do calculus. I mean, it's not impossible.
Parents or students?
Both.
Right.
Both. I mean, it's tough.
It's been a while for parents.
Exactly. But one of the huge benefits of our time now is that there are so many online resources available. I mean, you can type anything into Google, how do I divide fractions, and there will be 1,000 hits that have videos attached that can walk you through it with a manipulative or with pictures or with explanations. There are master teachers who've put their materials online.
Right.
And so if you don't know how to do something, there's no shame in that.
Right.
I certainly couldn't help with advanced chemistry. I haven't done it for a really long time. But I could help equip my kids with the skills that they need to go find that
information. I think you'd be the leader in this room.
Could be, yeah.
Anyway, you're listening to 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school.
And the hits just keep on coming here. We've got our education panel with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Brought to you by our friends at CapEd Credit Union. As we move along here, we've got students, we've got a teacher, we've got the Boise superintendent. Talking about back to school, but let's hear from the students. We were talking earlier, gentlemen, about what parents can do. And, you know, it always happens. The conversation off the air is always sometimes a little bit more compelling than on the air. But let's just share some of the conversations that we were having concerning parents and your relationship with your parents as far as how they've motivated both of you to learn.
Well, for me, I have my parents who work for the Boise School District as custodians at Lowell and Longfellow. That's where my mom works at. And they've encouraged me to be pushed really hard into my education because they want me to be something that they're not. They want me to be great at what I am, and they just push me really hard. And not many parents really do that to their students and to their kids. And just talking to them will motivate them to really focus on school. And it's just as we were talking off the air, I said that the more parents encourage their students, their kids to push
them
hard.
Well, you have a whole strategy.
Yeah.
That you were talking about.
Yeah. It's when parents talk to their kids about school.
Sure.
It motivates them to try really hard. And not just slack off.
Now, wait a minute. Now, do you ever do this at home when your parents go, hey, what'd you do today? Nothing.
Yeah. It's happened quite a lot. But my parents actually, we have deep conversations about school. And
well, how do you get past that if you're the parent?
I mean,
you cry. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, that's what I want to do when I get home. I mean, I had a long day, and I don't want to, like, talk about every detail, but my parents have gotten good at, well, what happened in Mr. Hofstetter's class? What happened in physics today? What happened in chemistry? You know, you were talking about that test. How'd that test go? Did you pass it, or did you fail it? Or, like, what's going on? They just learn to tune in on every little detail that you end up giving them so that they can use that to bring it up again and ask you about it.
So those are some tips for parents listening right now.
Yeah, keep track of what your kids talk about school.
Mm-hmm. And ask some specifics.
Yeah. not just how was your day. Well, right. It was all right.
You know, like small conversations are not going to really do anything. You just got to go way more into details about how their day went at school, yeah. If they had any struggles or not. Because the more, like, you talk to your kid, they're going to tell you every problem that they've had at school. And you get a better understanding of how their days are and how to be prepared when they're struggling. And find some ways to help them out when they're having, like, those tough issues in classes. And so that's kind of like what parents really need to do.
Yeah,
to
look, help their kids out. These parents need some instruction. And I'm glad that we have you guys here. You know, and people listening right now at 580KIDO, this is unfiltered. This is uncensored. This is what's going on. We're giving you tips here on how to talk to your children. I think that's pretty good.
What my parents have done was...
Yeah, let's hear about it.
My junior year... Okay, let me restart. my whole like high school career, I've been thinking I want to do something in math, something in engineering, mechanical engineering, something like that. But my junior year, I took a AP language and composition class, which is an English class, and it was interesting. It was great. It was the my favorite class last year, and I was telling my parents about it, and for my birthday or something, they ended up getting me a bunch of classic novels for me to read, which was awesome.
In the age of the Xbox and all that stuff?
Yeah, which is, I mean, it doesn't sound that exciting, but I mean...
No, I think it sounds refreshing to a lot of people.
My point is, like, if parents understand what classes their students are really interested in, then they can, you know, give them things, I guess, and help push them in the direction to be... to explore that interest. Like, I would have never read the Iliad or any of Homer's, like, epic poems.
Right.
That's boring. That's old, bland stuff. But, you know, I got those as presents because of... I was talking to them about this English class that I was super interested in, and I loved it, so...
Boy, if everybody could be like you two. We talk about, you know, you were mentioned earlier that the responsibility that you have with your parents, how they're motivating you. What goes on in your mind about that when they say, look, we have this life, but we want you to be better? Both when your parents say that to you, and again, sometimes we forget that you're young adults here, but, I mean, that's quite a bit of responsibility. Look, we want you to have a nice home. We want you to live the dream. For people, again, and your parents and grandparents are listening to this, so this is your audience here at 580KIDO. It's not, Katy Perry or whoever else. So when you're speaking to them, what goes on in your mind as a young adult when, you know, look, we want you to go to college. We want you to have a good life. What does that mean when you're in the classroom, when you're hitting the calculus, when you're going through some stuff that, you know, are really challenging courses?
You know, many kids, like when their parents are motivating them into school, in their mind, they're just going like, blah, blah, blah. This is not that really important.
I never did that when I was a kid.
That's like what most kids would do. It's like, oh, that's not really important. I don't care what he's saying right there. But to me, when my parents tell me that, it's kind of like, you know what? I'm going to push myself so hard to make their dreams come true. I want to be – I want my parents to be really proud of me at what I've turned out to be when they motivate me. So when I'm in class, the only thing I'm thinking about is, you know, I got to get that good grade, but it's not all about the grade. It's how well I enjoy that class and what I learn from it and what I can take outside and be able to help those people around me. And it's not all just about the grade. You got to have the passion in those classes. You got to be interested in it, come to class fully prepared and just, you know, be motivated into being there. Because not many students really want to be there, but, I mean, you just got to be there and, you know, get some things straight and, you know, shape the world out there. There are going to be lots of, like, doctors needed, lawyers needed, teachers needed. There's going to be lots of people needed, so... You got to be one of them and just make a name out of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way I look at school is, it's a great opportunity for students to, make their future so much better than it would be if they didn't go to school or if they got bad grades. If you get good grades, your future has just totally opened up. If you get almost straight A's or straight A's rather than C's and D's and whatever. Because it's just a great opportunity to really push yourself and get to open up a lot of doors, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, more coming up next here at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, K. Miller with you here as we roll along. Our education panel continues. Do want to thank CapEd Credit Union for making that happen, promoting our schools, securing our future. We've heard from the students. Let's get back to the panel itself. Here we are, the first week of school. Before we know it, it'll be Christmas time. Before we know it, it'll be time to graduate another group of students. How rewarding is it from your perspective to be a teacher?
It's the best job in the world. I can't imagine doing anything different. And I was asked this question in one of my classes. I'm taking some classes at Boise State, and they said, if you could look back on your career, what's the best thing? And for me, what's been most rewarding is looking at the number of students who have left my tutelage and gone in to do careers that involve math. They didn't lose their passion for math. And so sparking that passion for anything mathematical is a huge high for me, and that's my favorite part of it. So I wouldn't change it.
We always hear, though, so much about the shortages involving people that are proficient in math. Do you buy into that?
I think for some reason it is okay to say I'm bad at math socially. That's accepted, as opposed to saying you're bad at reading. Socially, everybody's expected to be literate, but the expectations for mathematical literacy are probably a little lower.
Right.
So I think everyone is capable of doing math, but I think that at times it can get a little challenging. And if you throw in the towel too soon and you don't wrestle with the problems and persevere through it, then you can end up feeling like you're bad at math when in reality you just didn't stick with it long enough.
Well, I think it all comes back to motivation, and we've heard some great motivational tips from our students here, but the idea that, you know, sometimes whether when we're young and impressionable, we see something, we try, and we fail initially, and perhaps we don't get that encouragement within ourselves or from others to keep at it. And that is so crucial to academic success and success on the job, really.
Absolutely. I would agree, and I've read articles written by people who have struggled, and they say that one of the biggest factors in helping them overcome the hurdle is the teachers being empathetic but not sympathetic. You keep the bar high. You say, I know you can do it. You're coming with a lot of baggage, but I believe in you, and I'm not going to lower the bar because you're capable of hitting the standard that I want you to hit, and I will support you in any way I can. We can come in during lunch. We can come in after school. Work with me, and we can get you there because you've got the ability. You've got the potential. You just got to dig in your heels and stick with it.
And that's really a lot of where this AVID AP movement in the district is coming from. It's a belief that that perseverance, along with the empathy, not sympathy, from teachers and a willingness to help out. I mean, you heard these guys. A lot of what they say is, you know, most of the time when I don't do as well as I should have, it was me not persevering or not doing as much as I could. So, yeah, I think that belief that, yeah, math can be hard, but that perseverance really plays a large role in being successful.
And if you work at creating a partnership with the parents and the kids and the teachers, excuse me, you can have a network of support so that when kids struggle, they can work through the struggle and come out on the positive side.
Gentlemen, anything else you'd like to add here in our closing comments? See, it wasn't so bad. You just kind of hang out and talk. It's no big deal.
Just like we were saying, me and Nick right here, we were talking about how students really blame their teachers for getting bad grades and whatever on there. So what we were talking about is, like, parents really need to learn how to make their kids not feel not make them start to blame their teachers for everything that goes on, because usually it's
I blame the kid.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, it's like it's usually your fault for getting those bad grades, and they just have to, like, motivate their kids to find new ways to study and get those good grades, because it's not really your teacher's fault that you got a C on your test in physics or chemistry or right. English or whatever. It's really your fault. You didn't study hard.
Even though
you were told to study for that test, right. You didn't. You procrastinated.
All right. Quickly, we've got to go to Nick,
yeah.
Finally. All right, then. Quickly to traffic at 580 KIDO. Hello, Dave. We'll get you to... Okay, it's redemption time.
I was just thinking of a time in one of my... Okay, so one of my English teachers, right?
10 seconds.
crap. One of my English teachers assigned a really hard essay, and...
And it made you better. You're listening to 580 KIDO.